The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water, and he ate and drank and lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. This is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamors and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings. Elijah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, previously had shown that Baal was a false god, and that God was the only true God there was. Queen Jezebel worshipped Baal, so when Elijah humiliated Baal, it outraged the queen. It showed that she and her idols were liars. They were cheap imitations of the real thing. Prior to our lesson, Elijah is running away from Jezebel, and he's sitting underneath a juniper tree. That's what a broom tree is that you saw printed in your bulletin. It's a juniper bush or tree. And he's not a real happy camper because the sun's beating down on him. Now, all this started with a competition between the prophet of God and the prophets of Baal. There had been a 3-year drought in the land, and the worship of Baal was completely centered around making it rain for the crops. So when it didn't rain for 3 years, this told the prophets of Baal that they had done something to anger him. So they must sacrifice more. They had to carry out more of their rituals in order to get it to rain. So Elijah offers a competition. They'll each build an altar, put a sacrifice on the altar, and whichever one is burned up by fire, that is the true God. So the prophets of Baal danced around their altar. They cut themselves. They believed that by inflicting pain, this would make Baal feel sorry for them, and that he would consume the sacrifice or send water to the earth. The people had to make a choice whether they were going to worship God or worship Baal. Of course, Baal could not answer the prayers. Elijah prayed, and God sent a consuming fire down that burnt up the sacrifice, the altar, and the ground surrounding the altar itself. Then Elijah ordered the prophets of Baal to be killed, and we read 450 of them were killed. Jezebel was not very happy. And we all know how this works. When mama's not happy, nobody's happy. So King Ahab is also quite angered. He orders Elijah to be killed. So Elijah runs to the desert in the south, and our lesson finds him underneath a bush. And he's basically saying, I've had enough, Lord. Just kill me and get it over with me. He had just won a great victory for God. I wonder in the back of his mind, after the prophets of Baal had been slaughtered, that they would march on Jerusalem and have a great revival and bring the people of Israel back to God. And it's not what happened at all. Elijah wins his great victory for God, and then he has to flee a death warrant. He felt disappointment, abandonment, disillusionment, despondency, and so on. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like the kid's little nursery rhyme that goes, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll eat worms and die? Susan's saying no. I got it wrong? I didn't get it wrong. I just misstated something. Anyway, we've all felt that way. I know I have. And sometimes a disappointment comes from a spouse, from friends, or from somebody close. And in frustration, Elijah cries out, "Why don't you just kill me?" He was ready for it to be over with. Elijah's suffering from what we would call a pity party. Elijah had worked hard to reach the people of God, and the success rate was far less than what he expected. I can't blame him for being depressed. Anybody who has suffered depression understands. But the first problem Elijah had was the message was not getting to the people. The second problem probably was more pressing. The king and queen wanted him dead, which meant anybody in Israel could kill Elijah without the law stepping in and punishing him. He was a free target for anybody. His third problem was he was stuck in the desert without food or water. Our lesson says he left his friend in Beersheba, about a day's away from where he was hiding out in the desert. So he had no one. And I'm sure Elijah felt that everyone wanted him dead. He doubted that God was with him. Maybe God had forsaken him. In verse 14, he says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." We've all felt at some point in our lives that God is far away. And like Elijah, we cry out to the Lord. What he was really saying to the Lord was, "You owe me, God. Haven't I been faithful to you? Look what I've done for you, and you've done what for me?" His real problem was he had lost focus. He was focused on himself. And Elijah's faith was shaken by fear. Sometimes we forget the everyday gifts that God supplies our daily needs with. We forget the special care he gives us in particularly bad situations. Previous to this story, Elijah sought residency with a widow and her son. And being a widow, she was quite poor, but she would bake bread every day for the family to eat. But the flour started to run out, the oil started to run out, so she was going to bake the final cakes for her and her son to eat, and some for Elijah, and then they could die because they had no food left. And God performed one of the great miracles of the Old Testament. He provided enough flour and oil every day until the drought was over for the mother and son and Elijah to eat. Elijah had forgotten all of God's provisions. He forgot them because he was in the grip of a death notice from the king or queen. Now, sitting underneath the bush, he's lost sight of God. He's focused on himself. We can be like Elijah. We tend to focus on ourselves. We wonder, "Where are you now, God?" If you have that thought in your mind, you're headed for a great disappointment. We start looking to ourselves for hope, for power, for strength, for holiness, and self-worth to no avail. The situation appeared it couldn't get any better. We think we have the inward fortitude to see through our problems ourselves, but we don't. We don't have it within us to get through problems without the Lord. Have you ever felt that you have given more than you received? That people don't appreciate everything you do? That God's not paying attention? And behind all of this is Satan fighting to blind you and seeing how God is working in your life. If you allow him to do this, you end up like Elijah, looking inward, wallowing in self-pity, crying out to God, "Why have you abandoned me? I deserve better. Don't you know how much I love you?" The fact is, the only thing we deserve is death. But by God's grace, we live. By nature, we have a tendency as human beings to always look inwardly, and Satan uses that as a tool against us. God did not abandon Elijah, and he's never abandoned you either. If you question God's abandonment of you, sit down and write down a list of all your blessings. All your blessings. And then you see how richly God has blessed you. And his greatest blessing is his Son on the cross. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. And he abandoned, God the Father abandoned Christ on the cross, because we have the words of Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ's great sacrifice gives us a reason to live. We know without a doubt that God loves us, that he is ever present and all powerful. He is our provider. See, you never need to feel alone, abandoned, forgotten, or unloved. There is always one that loves you so much that he gave his Son for you. And just as God gave bread and water to Elijah, he gives us the bread of life. He gives us the living water that will never thirst again. He gave his life for our salvation. He reassures us today that he is our provider, healer, enduring peace and righteousness. He assures us we'll never be alone, never abandoned or forsaken. But the best blessing God has given us that should give us comfort is he is preparing a place for us to live forever in his presence. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.